St. Louis's newest millionaire is in the studio with us this afternoon, Dan Nassif, who just about 10 or 11 days ago made it to the final table at the 2006 World Series of Poker main event, the big $10,000 buy-in, and walked away with a check for a little over $1.5 million. Did you have to show two forms of ID to cash that check?
Oh, yeah.
Is it an actual check?
No, they actually wired it to my bank. They asked me if I wanted check, cash, or wire transfer, and I didn't want that much money in Vegas. So I
smart man.
So I was carrying around the giant check that they hand out is just to pay.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And as a poker player, it was very interesting. In the afternoons during the main event, Mike and I would sit here and look at the card player website and see how people were doing. And,
sure.
You know, there were names that we knew from watching poker on TV. And then there was one guy who I knew from playing in one of the poker rooms here in town. And when he went out, I thought, well, no St. Louisans going to make it to the final table. And then I saw you.
I didn't think I was going to make the final table either, but, you know, it worked out that way. So it was a definite experience.
And you're still working.
Yeah.
You're not one of these guys who becomes a millionaire and goes, that's it, I'm quitting.
No, still at the Riverfront Times and actually there today, as a matter of fact. Hopefully my boss isn't listening.
Would your boss, has your attitude changed? I would think just a little bit because you could walk away.
Yeah, sure. But, I mean, walk away and do what?
Well, you did walk away to play poker, didn't you?
Well, I did. It was
last
more,
year.
It was more of a walking away because I was kind of burned out. And I just happened to be playing poker as well. And, you know, I did it for 6 months, and they asked me to come back, and I was so bored of doing nothing. I was just like, sure, I need some sort of job. I need some responsibility.
That doing poker all the time didn't really pan out as a career?
You know, I would play a couple hours a day for, you know, maybe 4 or 5 days a week. But then just like everything else, it just gets, you know, boring and it gets to be a grind and it is a job. And it, you know, I can only stay up so late and sleep in, you know, so late. It was time to kind of get back to reality. So I decided a work day might be a good idea for me.
Now, during the World Series, we had Greg Raymer on the phone. He's actually been on the show several times in the last couple of years. He's the guy who won the 2004 main event at the World Series of Poker. And I understand you and Greg and last year's winner, Joe Hashem, you all got in from the same website, Poker Stars. Mm-hmm. I understand that you sat down with them for a little meeting of the minds over dinner one night.
Yeah, that was that's when kind of things kind of hit me that, you know, I was at the final table and things got a little serious. We all went out to dinner. They had called me Wednesday night or Wednesday day and asked if I wanted to go out to dinner with Greg Raymer and Joe Hashem. And you know, I was like, yeah, you know, by all means, please.
And that was a day off because Tuesday you found out that you'd made it to the final nine and you weren't going to play the final table till Thursday.
Exactly, exactly. So it was great having that day off. And when they called and asked if I wanted to go to dinner, you know, I was like, sure, by all means. You know, I knew we were going to go to someplace nice to eat. So that was a definite plus.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when I got there, it was so surreal. And then it kind of hit me as I'm sitting there eating and they're giving me strategy advice that, I'm here. You know, this is happening, and this is real. And it was just an amazing experience.
Were they wearing the jewelry, their bracelets?
Yeah, and they showed it to me, and that kind of freaked me out a little bit because it was just this bracelet is just so, I mean, just pimped out beyond belief.
Yeah,
it's just unbelievable. And you know, and they just kind of gave me some advice and how to kind of handle some things.
What did they tell you? I'm curious.
Well, you know, I went in as a short stack at the final table. I didn't have a lot of chips at all.
You had 2.6 million in chips,
exactly.
And the chip leader at the final table had 26 million, literally 10 times what you had.
Exactly.
So what did they tell you your strategy should be?
Just, you know, pick up a hand and go for it. You know, that was really the only choice I had. They just said, you know, for the first couple of hands, if you don't get anything, don't press it. But, you know, don't wait too long.
What were the blinds and antes at that point?
The blinds and antes were 80,000 and 160,000 with a $20,000 ante. So every round, every 10 hands, I was losing approximately $500,000 in chips.
Mm-hmm.
And I only had 2.6 to start with. So I needed to pick up a hand pretty early.
Yeah.
And I did, and it just, you know, it is what it is.
On hand number five, you picked up ace-king offsuit, was it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ace-king offsuit, and You raised it to, what, like 700,000?
Yeah, Jamie Gold, the chip leader, had limped in from early position, limping in. He just called the big blind. And I looked down and saw ace-king. And I was thinking about going all in right there, but I didn't think he'd necessarily put me on a big hand because when a short stack moves all in, they don't need a big hand. They're just trying to make a move.
Right.
I figured if I raised 30, 35% of my stack, he would realize that I do have a really good hand, then he probably should fold.
Mm-hmm.
And so I raised, you know, 30, 35% of my stack, which was about 700,000.
Which is nothing to a guy with 26 million in front of him. This may have been your strategic error.
Exactly. I think I kind of overthought it. And, you know, he was getting almost 2-to-1 on his money to call. And if he flops a set, he knows he's going to take all my money. And if he doesn't, he's going to fold, you know, and that's going to be that.
And he did flop a set.
He did flop a set, and I had no choice but to move all in, and he called, and that was the end of my final table experience.
Five hands, right?
Exactly, five hands.
Yeah, I was actually over at Harrah's that night playing, and they had the pay-per-view telecast on in the poker room and throughout the other parts of the casino that night.
Oh, wow.
And there were people there who were, you know, like rooting for you, because, you know, there's that St. Louis connection.
Oh, yeah.
And it lasted 15 minutes, Dan.
Hey, we all get 15 minutes of fame, I guess.
Your position, though, heading in, you kind of got unlucky, right, heading into the final? I mean, you had a much better position, then you just got unlucky heading into that final. I forget exactly how. How did that work?
I remember. I remember how. You know, just you're going to get unlucky at some point when you play in a big tournament, and I got unlucky just at a bad point. I was, at the time, I think I was fourth in chips overall, and there was 12 people left, and Michael Binger, who actually came in third, I believe. He moved all in for $2-2.5 million, and he had pocket queens, and I looked down, and I had pocket kings. So, of course, I'm calling.
Mm-hmm.
So I called, and we flipped him up, and I had the kings, and he had the queens, and I was a huge favorite. You know, you can't be a better favorite.
4-to-1 right
exactly,
there.
Exactly, yeah, 4.7-to-1 to be exact. So you can't get your money in any better. And I got unlucky, and he got a queen, and that's poker, and that happens.
Wow. Yep.
And that took me from roughly $6.5 million down to, you know, $3.5 million. And if he doesn't get that queen, then I'm going to be sitting at the final table with maybe $12 million.
Yeah, plus
million.
Plus you lose what you could have gained.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So, you know, it's just kind of the way it goes. And
did you think at the final table, you knew you had to make a move early on, but did you think to yourself, you know what, I'm just going to sit here and see what happens. Maybe somebody else will get cards and get really unlucky against the chip leader, and I'll be able to at least move up one notch on the earnings ladder.
No, I didn't really think like that, because you don't want to, when you're playing, you don't want to necessarily play just to kind of move up the ladder, because you're not playing your game. I was just going to play my game, and if I came out in ninth, I came out in ninth, and if I came out in seventh, it was seventh. It didn't matter. I was just going to play, you know, play what I'm dealt and play cards, and what happens, happens.
Now, when we see this, and the main event coverage on ESPN starts tomorrow night, we won't see you probably until much later on, although I don't know.
Sure.
Were there cameras around you anytime earlier in the event?
You know what? Early in the event was, you know, like 2 weeks into playing, so I don't know if I necessarily, you know, remember, you know, what happened in day one or day two. But at the same time, there's cameras everywhere. It's very possible they might have some footage early on. Most likely not, but you never know. I mean, they show 1 hour of footage in a 15-hour poker period. You know
right.
what I mean? So there's so much footage. Who knows what they're going to do?
And that was the interesting thing, seeing the pay-per-view coverage that night. It was live coverage of what you guys were doing, as opposed to the edited coverage that everybody sees on the World Poker Tour or regular World Series of Poker stuff. And I think a lot of people were shocked to find out that poker, live, boring.
I had a friend who DVD'd the pay-per-view for me so I could watch it, because I didn't. And yeah, after about 20 minutes, I think I turned it off. It just is. You know?
Fold. Yeah.
And 90% of the time, everyone's folding. You
right.
know? So,
if they're good.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's
exactly.
the thing with the edited stuff now that a lot of people watch on ESPN. You get the impression, oh, every hand's an all-in hand, or every hand there's a decision, a big, tough decision to make. And I wonder how that might handicap a guy who thinks that's the way it always goes and goes in with his big wad of money into Harrah's or wherever to play in a poker room.
Sure, hopefully they won't think that, because you certainly don't want to play a ton of your hands. But I mean, you're right. What they show on TV is just, you know, the excitement and the big bets and the huge bluffs
and the crazy stuff that a player like Gus Hansen
exactly,
will do. You know,
exactly.
9-deuce off suit. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to put $600,000 on the table. He wins the hand, and then people watching go, "Oh,
I'm
going to
try that."
Exactly. The thing about that is he knows what he's doing, and he's doing that for a reason. And he might have done that because of something that happened an hour ago at the
right.
table, and people don't realize that.
Yeah.
Is it true that you wouldn't let your family come out at first?
Well, kind of. I went out there originally with a friend of mine, Bramble Danza, who actually played in the tournament as well, and then another buddy of mine, Mark Anderson, who was just coming to watch. And Brandon and I both made it past day one, and then I made it past day two, and Brant didn't, but I wasn't doing very well. I had, you know, not a ton of chips. And then once my friends left, I started doing really well. So when that happened, I'm just like, sorry, guys. You know, if I make the final table, you can come out, but I'm just now doing well. So so no one's coming out. And God love them, they came out and saw me for 10 minutes. They flew back home.
Oh,
so.
My gosh.
Did you, going in, did you, I mean, it's tough to say, oh, I think I've got a great shot of making the final table, but, you know, did that scenario play out in your mind?
No, not at all. There was just too many people.
Yeah. You know? You can be the best player in the world. Exactly. You're at 8,700 to one shot.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, probably thousands of people that are better than I was. I just had one good tournament. And when you're playing with that many people, anybody who says, well, I'm going to make the final table, I'm going to do this, it's just you're kidding yourself because there's 20 people. So when I played in 05, I didn't do very well, and I was pretty intimidated by the lights and the poker pros and everything and the cameras. And then this year, I just decided I'm going to sit down and play cards. And if I get knocked out, I get knocked out.
Okay, so who's treating you differently now? Other than us, because we've never spoken to you before in KMOX. And obviously, we're treating you differently.
Sure, sure. But, yeah, you guys are by all means having me come in here. But
This is your first interview on KMOX.
Exactly. Exactly. It is.
Have that thing last year. We were thinking, let's get a newspaper sales guy at random.
Yeah.
But your name did not come up, Dan.
No, I didn't make the cut, apparently. But no, I mean, no one's treating me different.
Come on, people are coming out of the woodwork. People from graduated with you in 91 from Parkway West. You must be getting those phone calls. Hi, Dan, remember me?
Well, I mean,
I've got a business idea.
Yeah, and are you married?
I'm not married. I am
single.
Well,
see, there you go.
But, you know, I don't have a home phone, and my number's not listed. So my people that have my phone number, they're my friends, you know. Yeah. So obviously they're going to, you know, they're all excited. And the support that they gave me, as well as people at the RFT, have been, you know, overwhelming, and it was just great.
Do you, now you don't get a bracelet, obviously, but do you get a ring or anything for making the final table or just the check?
I got a real nice, I think you pronounce it Corkum watch. Okay. I don't know if I pronounce that name of that correctly.
Don't ask us.
And I don't know, I don't know where it is.
No.
It's in Vegas somewhere, so hopefully I'll be able to get that.
Yeah. What do you mean it's in Vegas somewhere?
Well, you know, we had this meeting an hour before we're about to play, and they presented us with these watches, and they kind of told us what to expect. And the next thing you know, they're like, okay, leave everything here, and you can come back and get it later, and we're going to take you to the you know, table to play. And then after I got knocked out, you know, and I'm doing some interviews and stuff, and seeing my family and friends and saying hey, and then obviously getting paid, the last thing I thought about was a watch that I left at a table.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
3 hours before.
Right.
So I actually should probably call them and see if I can get that back. It was really nice.
I'm curious, what goes on in that meeting? Are you saying that the World Series of Poker and ESPN people take you into a room and say, okay, before we go play the final table, here's some things that you need to think about in case you're not nervous enough?
Yeah, no, not at all. It was just what to expect. Hey, we're going to take you this way, and hey, all your families and friends that you needed to be seated are seated.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to mic you up. We're going to announce you guys one by one. It's just more of like a protocol of how things are going to work. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you know, you're like the Three Stooges running off into the sunset, bumping into each other and just kind of sitting there, you know? So it's that kind of just to let you know what's happening.
The other thing I noticed on the pay-per-view that night, in addition to people who normally don't play poker seeing that the pace is much slower than the normal televised poker, is that they really drag out any hand where somebody's all in. Like when you were all in, mm-hmm. you know, okay, let's arrange the cards. Okay. It must have been 5 minutes before, from the time you went all in to the time the hand was over.
Yeah, they really kind of play it up for the TV and kind of get everything set and kind of count all the chips. And meanwhile, you're just sitting there. You know, I was just sitting there upset that I, you know, had gone all in against a guy with a set of two. So, you know, but that's kind of part of the Hollywood part.
Are you thinking to yourself, get this over with, get this over with, get this over with?
I'm thinking I want to leave, go home.
I'm Paul Harris here in the studio with Carol and Mike and Dan Nassif from the Riverfront Times, who made it to the final table at the main event at the World Series of Poker about a week and a half ago. And it actually took a week and a half for you to get there from the first time you sat down at the main event to the time you actually got your check. Not that it takes so long to draw up the check, but it took that long to actually play because there were that many people this year. And, you know, when you go out there, you were saying last year you went out on the first day,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have enough underwear to make it a week and a half?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
That is the best question ever asked on KMOX.
Because, you know, if I'm going out there and you think, well, you know what, if I can make it to the second day, I'll be lucky. Okay, so you plan for 2, 3, maybe 4, 5 days. Longest I've ever gone to Vegas is a week. You're there almost 2 weeks just for this part.
Oh, it was. I had to go to the laundromat. I mean, we I actually went on Thursday, and, you know, I had some clothes, but not a ton. And then we played played Saturday, and then we're off Sunday, Monday, played Tuesday, and then that Wednesday I woke up, realized I had no clean clothes, And luckily, we had the day off, so I cabbed it to. I took a cab to a laundromat, and I spent like 4 hours doing laundry.
Oh my God.
And it was brutal.
Well, that's good because Paul would just turn his inside out.
Oh,
give him an extra week.
Well, no, but here's what I would do if I knew I was making the final table and
just
thus
go
guaranteed
buy new
$1.5 million.
Yeah.
I'd use one of those hotel laundry
well,
services.
I wasn't even guaranteed any money at this point. I was guaranteed nothing at this time. It was day. We hadn't even played day three yet because everything was split up.
Oh.
So I was guaranteed
so you
no
did
money.
Take one pair of.
I don't know. I had like
no,
six
but day
pair
three,
of drawers.
Day three in card playing is like day five.
Exactly,
because there were four
right.
day ones and two day twos. So.
Exactly. Day three was actually 8 days after I had gotten there.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
When I made the final table, I had run out again. So my buddy Andy Goldenberg, who came out there, I called him like, dude, I'm like, I need t-shirts and underwear, man. I'm like, help me out. I'm not wearing dirty drawers. so thankfully he came out.
You knew that your shirts were taken care of because.
Yes.
You had to wear the shirts for poker stars.
Exactly.
Because
they were great. They ironed them and gave me clean ones every day.
Sure, because they know that's going to be on TV.
Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Now, we talked before about how long it takes. Mm-hmm. The first day, I think, was, 15 hours or something?
Yeah, it ended just after 3 a.m. Vegas time.
Is it true that you had a migraine the whole time?
Oh, it was terrible. I was real sick the day before I flew out there. I had a real nasty sinus infection for like 2 days. And it had given me migraines because I guess the congestion or however that works. So yeah, that night, Wednesday night at like midnight, I was in the hospital with an IV in my arm, getting pumped full of antibiotics and drugs and everything. And I almost just said to heck with it, I'm not going. And when my buddy came Thursday afternoon to my house to take this to go to the airport, I'm like, man, I ain't feeling good. I'm like, I'm terrible. I'm on all these antibiotics and antihistamines. I'm like, I don't even want to go. And I'm like, let's just see what happens. And the plane ride was, with the pressure, that was awful. And then it took like 5 days to feel better. And luckily, everything kind of kicked in on before day three. And
but still, having to feel like that and play the first day 15 hours straight.
Yeah, it was,
wow.
We were at dinner break, and I was telling my friends, I'm like, I can't do it anymore. I'm going to go back to the hotel. And they're, obviously, talked me out of it. And they made a good point. They're like, first of all, you're playing for $12 million. and second of all, you go to the hotel, you're going to lay down. All you're doing now is sitting in a chair. What's really the difference? So they kind of put it in perspective. I'm like, all right.
Yeah. You've got a career as a motivational speaker on that story
exactly.
alone.
Apparently, it worked out. It worked out.
Now, you won a satellite online. That means a tournament that you paid a lot less than the $10,000 for. It was $160,
exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you played against 79 other players, so it was one out of 80 would win that online tournament and go.
Yes.
But whenever I hear people saying, well, he only spent $160 on this, I know that that was not the only satellite you entered. How much do you think you actually invested?
I did four online, and I did one at Harris Casino. At Harris Casino was $200, and it was kind of the same format where it's double shootouts where you have ten tables of 10 people at Harris, and the winners from each table advance and play the final table. And then online, it was 9 tables of 9 people.
So you had to play 5 different tournaments online and offline.
Yeah.
To finally get there. So several hundred dollars.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, I think it was like maybe like $900.
Still a pretty good return on your investment.
I'll take it. I'm not going to complain about it.
And then here's another thing I've heard about people who get there through these online poker rooms. Because there's the crackdown on poker rooms, and we have a story here in St. Louis of Catherine Hanaway cracking down on the people from betonsports.com, and the U.S. government is wasting its time and energy, in my estimation, in doing this sort of stuff. But I understand that because of that, they had to deduct the $10,000 entry fee from your winnings because they wouldn't take it from PokerStars. Is that true?
Yeah, that came to my attention. On that Thursday morning before the final table, and I don't know the rules and laws behind online poker, if there is any. I don't know what they're doing with it, but it just came to my attention that that Harris could not accept it because it was come from a website, an offshore website, and I just said, well, what are our options? And they just said, well, you can cut us a check right now, or we can take it out of your winnings. And I'm like, well, take it out of my winnings. I don't have a blank check in my wallet. Nor do I have 10 grand in my bank account. So I told them, just take it out of my winnings. And I apologize for the inconvenience. And, we'll just move on.
Well, what do they do for people that qualified that didn't make it that far? Did those folks then have to pay their own?
I don't know.
I mean, if they're not going to.
Here's a better
money.
Question. Are you going to get the 10 grand back from PokerStars?
Yeah, they told me I would. I believe them. Okay. They treated myself and family and friends with the utmost respect.
Will you now be a spokesperson for them, or does that only go to the winner, the Greg Ramers and Joe Hutchins?
I don't have any sort of like agreement with them right now.
Do you have an agent at all?
No.
To explore?
No, I guess myself. I'm my agent, I guess.
You wore their shirts, right?
Yeah.
And that was part of the deal.
Yeah. Yeah. In doing so, they paid for my hotel room.
Did you wear sunglasses?
No, I left them in my car. Otherwise, I was going to.
Really?
Yeah, but I left them in my car.
There are photos of them online.
Because that's the big thing about playing in poker tournaments now, that the eyes give away everything.
Sure. Yeah, the hat and the sunglasses and all that stuff.
Do you believe that? Do you usually wear sunglasses when you play?
Sometimes, not often. I do believe it to an extent, because there was a couple times where just looking at somebody and saw their eyes, I knew they were, bluffing. So that helped me win some chips. But if you can pull it off without wearing sunglasses and just kind of have that stoic face, then you really don't need them.
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
$1.5 million richer. Yeah. Although after taxes, it's what, 800 grand, something like that?
Oh, that was a little more than that, yeah.
Has the IRS already, or do you just wait and file April 15th? What do you do?
I have a tax accountant that takes care of that.
There you go.
I already met with her on actually the first day I came back into St. Louis on Monday. I'm like, I just want to know what I owe so I don't spend it. So she told me.
Yeah. And what have you splurged on?
Nothing. I haven't bought anything.
Really?
No.
You're not human.
I paid off my house.
Don't you owe Andrew Goldberg some underwear?
Yeah, I owe him like $10, I think, for the underwear at Target he got for me.
Because he's been walking around going, I can't believe this guy just reimbursed me for the underwear.
What a jerk. Yeah, it's probably going to be on the front page of the Inquirer. You know, millionaire doesn't give $10 to buddy. So.
For drawers,
yeah. Exactly.
It was Fruit of the Loom. So, you know what?
But then I just paid off my house, and I don't know. I have nothing else.
You paid off the house.
Yeah, I did.
That's cool.
Yeah, that was neat.
Pretty nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And thank you for coming down here.
No problem.
Next year, when you go to play in the World Series of Poker, we'll get live reports from you like we did with Greg Ramer this year.
We'll see what happens.
I'll let you sleep a little longer than I let him sleep,
though.
Thank you very much.
That's key right there.
Dan Nassif, still going back to his job in the sales department at the Riverfront Times. This is the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.